You have reached the residence of Teresa Whiting and Robert Scrum. If you leave a name, number, and a brief message, we will return your call as soon as possible. Thanks and have a great day.
Hello? Anybody there?
Joan Ron, did you make the call on that New Hampshire address?
No, June did.
Uh-huh.
And they had told her computers were down till noon. Computers were down till noon. Computers were down till noon.
George, Jason, PCI again. Wednesday. I'm returning last night. She loved you. Wednesday around 7 o'clock in the morning. 10 o'clock, maybe better. Ready to pour at 10. I'll get there around 9, set up, and have concrete there at 10. Just to avoid looking at the weather and hoping it doesn't rain again. It's supposed to rain Wednesday morning, so we just want to do a late morning pour. If you can be called, but, you know, that's okay. We'll set up the concrete pour. Thank you. Bye.
End of message. To delete this message, press 7. Message deleted. End of messages. Goodbye.
Hey. Oh, Mike, I just wondered if you wanted a sub or you want chicken pot pies or you want me to make kibbutz, you know, fries.
Chicken pot pies are fine.
All right, then I won't
chicken
stop.
Chicken pot pies, you don't even have to stop.
All right.
All right.
I just pulled a whore.
Okay.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to another episode on the 14th of December 2005. You're listening to Hyper Voice Radio, a free, impartial, show. You are free to distribute this media any way you see fit, and in partaking, you are, just by listening to this radio broadcast, you are taking part into the freedom of your headspace and timing. Kicking the show off today with a news story that I was alerted to by Safa earlier today. Now, I was unable to locate this on any media source. I was unable to locate the source of this news story, but the gist of it goes is if we rewind back to last year around about this time when the tsunami kicked off, apparently people in Southern Asia and Asia Pacific are basically being given government grants to rebuild their properties that were destroyed by the tsunami. In turn, they must submit to a full eye scan, retinal scan, fingerprints, and ID cards. Pretty much a system that we will get very soon. Hopefully not. me and Planet were actually discussing this earlier before we started recording, the way I see it is, I can see why they're doing this. This is to protect, basically, fraud, people applying for the grant twice, or, you know, trying to basically weasel their way for some free money. I think it's a bit drastic. It's like selling your soul to the devil. They may implement. I mean, the reason is, you know, there's very little actual records there in the poor parts. You know, most people, greater population of the population of India may not even have birth certificates, any records of the standard kind of personal identity and all that kind of jazz. So this is the way the government's taking to protect themselves against fraud. Now, I don't think they have to go all the way, you know, the full hog of of ownage of what they're trying to do, you know, I think the nice little fingerprint would suffice. And I just want you to, for Planet to be able to continue from where he kind of left off. If you can remember. Yeah.
You know, we were kind of talking about this off air, and like I said there, I see this as, well, listeners to the show must already know that I'm very anti-ID card in any way, shape or form. So it'll be no surprise to you that personally I see this as kicking people when they're down.
Yeah.
Now, a tsunami rips through your country, it rips a whole lot of shit up, and you're there with no house, and you're pretty much fucked. The government comes to you and says, look, we can pay for you to rebuild your house. If... Now, they can say anything after that if, and you're going to agree to it. You've got fuck all. Your life's just been turned upside down and turned into dust. And they can say, if we can butt-fuck you every Tuesday from here to eternity, and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays too. And you can say, well, I haven't got a house, so yeah, okay, you know, this will get me back on my feet again.
Yeah, here's the loop.
They go into these people and say, look, here's a grant to rebuild your house if you agree to the ID card. Now, that is a gun-to-your-head kind of motivation for getting people to sign on for this thing. And once they've got an initial core of people using the ID card, they're then obviously going to spread it to loads of other people. Say, well, these guys are using it, they're happy, they've got no complaints. How about you lot start using it as well?
Whoa. Getting some weird stuff. Let me just call you back, man. Hi. Hello. 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 It's weird, some weird sound problems. One second. Fantastic. Okay, let's continue from where you left off.
Okay. God only knows what was going on there with the bloody thing. Whatever was wrong. The problem. However, anyway, a while ago...
that did not sound good. Some,
I don't know who that was.
Not me. Yes, some old
beer. Did your beer can castle fall down?
It did, yeah. I'm never going to get to the moon now. Down. Bollocks. Yeah, anyway, there was an old story on the BBC which, like a damn fool, I did not link. Because now, for the life of me, I cannot find it again. But I swear to you, I saw it once. And what it was about was the way they're approaching the ID cards in Hong Kong. Whereas over here in the UK, we're having them forced on us. We're being told that this will stop benefit fraud. It will stop terrorism. If you're an everyday innocent citizen, then why wouldn't you want one? Hmm. It's all very good. And have you got something to hide? You know, it's that old bastard cliche of those with nothing to hide have nothing to fear. That's the approach we're getting over here. And this story was about how they're trying to bring in, well, how they have brought in the same system in Hong Kong of mandatory ID cards, but with a different approach. Now, what they did over there was they really sugared the pill. It wasn't mandatory to begin with. I am coming up with this from memory, so please forgive me if I get any facts wrong. But a lot of it was you get a lot cheaper public transport discounts if you can open a bank account a lot easier if you have money. You're more likely to be employed if you have an ID card, and all these different things. And I think that is the approach that the UK government will eventually take.
Yeah.
Because if you force anything on a person, they're just going to say, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's like if you run down the street with an ice lolly and go up to someone and say, here's an ice lolly, eat it, eat it, eat it. They're going to say, no, you psycho, get away from me.
With the exception of hot chicks and sex.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, maybe I'll fall for that. But not ID cards.
Take me. Oh, well, I wasn't doing anything for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. It only takes 10 minutes.
But once they get all these kinks worked out the system with the approach to the ID card over here, we are going to see them really sugaring the pill, I think, yeah. The same way they did in Hong Kong.
Yeah, you're right. You're really right to say there, you know, when I said you will have, you know, you will get reduction on transport and all that stuff. That's precisely what they're doing now with the Oyster card. They're trying to push the whole thing like, oh, you know, your travel will be much cheaper if you have an Oyster card, and also it's much easier to pay for your travel and all that kind of crap. Now, the way I see travel, you know, you should only be charged by how much you actually travel, how long your journey is. If you only take one stop, you should only be charged a minimal amount. And let's say you take a trip on the underground, the whole journey through the train, you should only be charged the maximum amount of what it would cost to buy a travel card, if you see what I mean.
Mm.
This is how the system used to work. You had two charging systems of inner London and outer London, and that was the perfect system. And now that they try and you know, they're raising the fees every few months, actually, trying to push people to buy these Oyster cards. I don't see, I say all this kind of stuff, and I've got one myself, but I have it for different reasons. And it's just, you know, you should give people the option to use transport or transport system and the paying methods of transport in a fair and you know, unbiased fashion.
Absolutely. I mean, in an ideal world, yeah, where the government's not run by nutcases and
Nazis.
Want everyone to be tagged.
Well, yeah. In an ideal world, like with the fucking taxes you pay, transportation should be free.
Yeah, precisely. That's something that I've been saying for a long time.
Yeah.
Why isn't the actual British transport free? You know, in France, you know, it's pretty much nearly free. Actually, which country has completely free transport? For public transport, I'm not sure, but you will find that most of the European countries have free, you know, like bus transport and stuff like that, or at least very, very subsidized, very cheap transport, you know, charged on either an hourly basis or on the amount you travel. You know, I'd much rather prefer to buy, let's say, an hour's worth of ticket than have to pay an extraordinary amount just to travel three stops, you know, like. Let's say I get on a bus, I have to pay £2, where before it was like 98p or 47p or something like that, just to travel two stops. That's ridiculous.
We have a kind of similar way of doing things here, where, like, for instance, not in trains, per se, but definitely in subways or the bus.
Yeah.
You know, you basically pay for, in the subway, a subway token, or, you know, on the bus, you pay, you know, the fee. It's usually about $1.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're taking the bus for, like, two stops or to the end of the line. Like, everybody pays the same amount of money.
Mm.
And the same thing with the subway. Is if you get off, like, you know, two stops later on the subway station, you've paid the same for a subway token.
Yeah.
That could have taken you much farther, but that's not really where you wanted to go.
Okay. Yeah, it's just quite crazy the way the world's trying to working now.
It's going to get crazier as well.
Yeah.
It ain't getting no better.
No.
I mean, just going back to the initial stuff that kicked all this off.
Yeah.
Again, that is just so nuts. Mm. People who have nothing, they've just had their homes destroyed, and the government saying to them, look, okay, we'll help you rebuild your homes, we'll give you a grant for it. If you basically give up your freedom.
Mm.
Oh my god. And I don't know anything about the ID card system they've got over there. For all I know, it's your name handwritten on a piece of paper. I don't know. But I'd still be against
it's,
that.
It's going to be a full-fledged ID card where they take, you know, your optical scan, retinal scan, you know, your fingerprints and all that kind of stuff. Pretty much the same, like a clone of our system. Just to be able
that's
to get a government
bad.
Grant.
It's just so wrong.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. You know, I don't know. One of the things about this show is it's really let me know some of the freedoms that as an American I do have. You know, like it's odd, but I don't know. I complain about the government a lot, and I'm not going to stop doing that, so don't worry about that. But, like, just the fact that it was so simple for me to, you know, to buy a rifle, or, you know, that though I have tons of things being shoved down my throat, even today there is no law for mandatory identification.
Yeah.
I mean, there is if you want to drive a car or something along those lines, and it does create all kinds of problems if you don't have any identification, particularly if you're being questioned by any kind of authority.
Sure.
But, that and things that we have in this country are constitutionally protected, like the right of innocence until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that is mostly lip service, but you know there is a bit of that you know going on in the whole system and things like that. And, I don't know.
In the UK, that went out of the window a long time ago. Here, it's like you know you have to prove your innocence and. Would anything ever more than... I mean, you know, you either are guilty or you're not, basically, you know, where it stands. Or justice...
Well, if you were innocent, you wouldn't have gotten arrested.
I mean, justice is supposedly blind. But, you know, they will arrest you and they will charge you without actually even... with having the minimum proof you know, any kind of hard facts that you are, you know, guilty. Now, if everybody who's listening would like to point themselves to the front page of our website, which is www.hackervoice.co.uk, you will find a picture taken on July 26, 2005, when the train bombings in London went off. Now, this is a notice to all passengers. Please do not run on the platforms or concourses, especially if you are carrying a rucksack, wearing a big coat, or look a bit foreign. This notice is for your own safety. Now, this hasn't been...
Define look a bit foreign.
This hasn't been photoshopped, modified in any way. This is a legitimate underground notice. You know... station.
I saw that. Define foreign looking.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
like I'm decidedly
oh, come on.
Foreign.
This has to be
I'm
a
not
fake.
Terribly
no, it's
looking,
really. This is not a fake. It's not a fake.
It's gotta be.
No, I'm sorry, but the horrible fact is that this is not fake. And
hey.
Exactly. I mean, shit, man. You know, if you came to the UK, Ionix, you would be foreign.
I would be.
Yeah,
foreign
so
looking, but foreign.
You're not foreign looking because you're wait a second, you're white, you know? You don't have any skin coloration. You're not, you know, oh god forbid, brown, you know? Fuck's
sake.
Well,
it depends. I do get a little brown in the sun.
Yeah, I mean, shit.
Especially
oh, come on, they can't just write this up on a whiteboard.
Trust me.
Don't go running if you're foreign, not in London.
No,
London's
no.
one of the most multicultural cities
I
in the
I know,
it.
That's what I was thinking, is like, how many people of, like, Indian, Pakistani descent do you have
no,
living there?
No, seriously,
let
I
alone,
mean...
Like,
this would offend so
cultures,
many
I mean.
People. There'd be
sure,
riots.
New York City,
and it did,
I
and...
I think that London is one of the most multicultural cities on the face of the earth.
Well, listen, when 9/11... When the Twin Towers got owned, like how
That's
many?
A bad way of putting it.
How many Sikhs were you know suspected of being terrorists when they're not even? Oh man, God forbid! Just blame this on like a religion. Oh fucking all the Muslims, you know, fucking
well,
they're all terrorists.
That wasn't necessarily the government though. That was just people. Taking
yeah,
it
just being idiots.
Hand. Yeah.
And I mean,
like. I don't know, there were some gas station attendants who yeah. I was sort of friends with. I knew them, they were good guys and stuff. They had to close down their gas station for like 2 weeks after that. People kept freaking threatening their lives.
Yeah.
And like, these were some people that had the last thing to do with the freaking Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. These are people that came to the United States specifically to get away from that kind of bullcrap.
Mm.
And... you know, they tried to combat it by throwing up, you know, big American flags in the fronts of their stores and things like that.
I mean,
after a month or two, things blew over, but still. Like, how do you pull up in a pickup truck and try it in a gas station's attendant light or something that, I mean, that would be like some Iraqi coming to my house and blaming me for the Iraq war.
Yeah. It's like, holy shit, man. Oh, fuck, I double-posted that. Bollocks.
Haha, loser.
No, triple-posted it, in fact.
Okay, double loser.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I have no fucking clue.
Oh, okay.
I'll check that out.
I'll find out soon enough, though. Yeah.
Just look for the triple post.
Yeah, no, I've sorted it out. I've deleted that.
Trying to hide your new business.
No, it's just, it was uploading a huge image file. And I just kept on clicking.
You're like, son of a bitch, why isn't it uploading?
Yeah, click,
oh, wait,
click.
Maybe because it's huge.
Yeah.
Dumbass. I've decided that insert deity here, or the idea, needs to come up with life 2.0.
Yeah.
I, for one, need a more user-friendly interface.
Of life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quite. I've been having, like, a lot of bugs, system crashes, that sort of thing lately.
Mm.
And I think somebody should really get on the ball, start designing, like, life V2.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, like The Matrix, the first one sucked because everything was really happy and then...
Yeah, well, let's try that again.
Yeah.
And then systematically eliminate the people it doesn't work for, because that'd be cool by me.
Yeah.
So that would beat the ever-living hell out of, well, you know, me. Just a suggestion, if anybody wants to get out there, get on it.
Take the blue pill, man. Seriously, take the blue pill. Don't take the red pill. The red pill is bad. The red pill opens your mind to suggestive things, you know. Yeah. You could.
As a matter of fact, we're changing the whole Hacker Voice Radio slogan. It's now enslave your mind.
Yeah, yeah.
The alternatives are just too horrifying.
Yeah.
Obey.
We looked on the other side of
Looking Glass.
Of the Looking Glass, and oh man, it was horrible.
It was a bunch of crap.
Yeah, George Bush and stuff, and I don't know. Actually, talking about talking about George Bush. If you point yourself to the Links forum, you will find a few posts that I stuck up today that I found quite amusing. If you go to the George is Bush a cyborg? And click on the damning evidence, you will see a fucking... I can't even describe how funny this picture is.
Okay, I'm going to it.
Yeah.
But before I click on it, I need to say that I have irrefutable evidence that he is not a cyborg, as a cyborg would have computer-like intelligence.
Yeah.
Our president has ape-like intelligence. Yeah. Actually, no, that's actually doing a disservice to apes.
Yeah.
Sorry, apes.
His intelligence ranges somewhere between a furry rodent and a cucumber.
Yeah. We apologize to all our ape listeners. We hope
as well as our cucumber listeners. Yeah. And all the furry rodents out there listening, diehard listeners to Hacker Boys Radio. Yeah. That was crass of me.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a cyborg based on a Commodore 64 or something like that.
Maybe. With like
46K
of RAM.
No, you know what that actually was?
Yeah. What was it?
You do?
No. What was it?
Oh, he had a team of analysts.
Yeah, talking to him.
Listening to the questions and feeding him answers. That's the wireless receiver.
Yeah. On his back.
On his back, yeah.
Yeah.
You see, in this country, our politicians, we don't do that whole House of Commons thing.
Yeah.
So when the president actually goes out there to speak, well, usually he's just reading something that like 6 or 7 people wrote and refined for him.
Yeah.
So this whole presidential debate thing becomes kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, like, say stuff without a teleprompter.
Mm.
And our presidents aren't good like that. They don't have those notebooks. They don't have the practice.
Yeah.
The hears and the boos and all of that.
Yeah.
So when push comes to shove,
they have to get
Bush
wise.
Decided that it'd probably be better just to have people feed him the answers like they normally do.
Mm.
And apparently it worked.
Yeah.
But no, that's what that is. That's a wireless receiver for his staff of people that, you know, are feeding him what the American people want to hear.
There was another funny thing, Roman, going around the internet where there was, like, this guy who his job is to feed him all this information, and there's, like, a funny clip of that actual event where he's talking there on the debate, and there was a bit where he just stopped talking for quite a long time. He just didn't say anything.
Oh, yeah!
And in the background, he's like, wait, don't say anything, wait, and then you see just, like, George Bush just kind of, like, I don't know, doing something with his mouth, looking around. He's like
half drooling.
Yeah, he's like, wait, don't say anything, wait, hold it.
The Daily Show, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, it was hilarious, fucking hilarious.
Yeah, that was freaking great.
Seriously, I mean, come on.
So you took my advice in downloading The Daily Show episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's commentary at its best. It's like such fiercely damning political commentary disguised as hilarious comedy.
But I love the way
the
they did it.
The only reason it's funny is because nobody likes to cry.
Yeah, and I know. And they did it so well. They did it so well, you know. Yeah.
Actually, this radio pack on George Bush's back
reminds
me of an old episode of The Lone Gunman.
Yeah?
And people,
if you
don't know what I'm talking about, you should go to amazon.co.uk.com.whatever country you live in and order the box set because it's flipping good.
And if you're in the United States, Hollywood Video normally has the entire DVD in their common stock.
Good on them. Well, what's happening in this old episode that I'm talking about? This this senator was obviously it's a spin-off of the X-Files, so it's fiction, you know. But it's based on the three hacker guys there, the lone gunman, and this senator was being interviewed on live TV, and he had kind of the same setup. He had a wireless thing in his ear and a little radio pack on his back so that his advisors could answer his questions for him. However, the lone gunman got there and they hacked the signal. So his advisors couldn't talk to him, and it was actually the lone gunman answering the questions to this senator, and he was reading it out on live TV.
Yeah.
And, yes, I did this and I did that. All kinds of things. And I
what I loved about that is how close that senator actually was to Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah, it was the one who had the baby in that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was an obvious Bill Clinton satire.
Mm.
I think he was even playing the saxophone on stage and stuff like that.
Yeah. That was good.
And how obvious did they want to make it?
You know what I was pissed off about? I was really pissed off that they canceled that after the season finale was a cliffhanger.
Too right.
Like, how do you do that? Like, we got this cliffhanger. No, we're not even going to let you give the second part of the cliffhanger. You guys are just canceled.
Well, you've got to be an absolute arsehole, basically, to cancel a damn good show at any time. Mm. At any time during its run. Let alone a cliffhanger. You should be taken out in the street and shot. And, I mean, this was shown again in Farscape.
Did you ever see that X-Files episode? Actually, you probably have them on DVD, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a big old geek.
Yeah, so you've seen the X-Files episode where they tie up the lone gunman by killing him off?
Yeah, Jumping the Shark, the episode was called, and it was a terrible
Jesus
episode.
Christ.
And a very bad ending for such a cool spin-off
idea.
You know. But
I mean,
all right,
killed,
well, Tiananmen Square was probably
Farscape
the most disappointing crap I've ever seen in my life, but this is a close second.
Thankfully, Farscape, this is why I bring it up, is because people took their power. They went to their keyboards, they got noticed, they got their voice. They went around, they started buying box sets of Farscape and giving them to the local libraries so that people who hadn't seen the show before could go there and rent them for free, take them home, watch the DVDs, get into the show. And then those people who've just come into the show started getting into it and going, why the flipping hell did you end this on a season cliffhanger? Yeah. This won't stand. So eventually there was enough people all ranting about it that they actually did a very, very good mini-series called Farscape the Peacekeeper Wars, which rounded it off nicely. Unlike the X-Files Jumping the Shark episode, where they just brought these characters back and went, oh, here's an episode just to round things off and they're dead. Tough shit. I am very, very against quality science fiction being cancelled, and The Lone Gunman was brilliant. I really think it was. Maybe it's because I'm a big old geek
really
who likes computers.
I like the fact that they never tried to be like a drama. It was always supposed to be a comedy.
Yeah,
and it was jovial. There was a good amount of tech in it. That's always a good fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a shame. Well, it's because, you know, the American audience doesn't want to see The Lone Gunman or even The X-Files anymore. That kind of level of techni-savvy went out the way of the 90s tech boom or bust. Now the American populace wants to see American Idol.
Yeah, and fucking...
An American Dancing Idol. And American's Top Model.
And, fucking Desperate Housewives and all that crap.
Yeah, but, you know, people wonder why this country, you know, is slipping in the tech industries, the science industries, as far as the quality of our scientists and engineers. It's because this country does no longer places any kind of weight or value on intelligence and technical knowledge. Hmm. It's all about how far you can throw a ball or how pretty you are.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's becoming worse and worse every year. I don't know. I don't understand it at all.
I don't understand how these good shows can be cancelled, like you say, and this making fucking Paris Hilton TV shows. What was it, the Good Life?
Who watches that shit?
Yeah,
really?
Fucking idiots, mate.
The only episode of that I ever saw was the one where she fucked her boyfriend on some kind of night vision. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't that show. That was something else she did.
No, that was crap. I mean, she didn't even look like she was enjoying herself.
She wasn't. She got off his cock to answer a cell phone.
God damn.
Like, for Christ's sakes, yeah. That's intense. Oh, yes. Oh, wait. One of my friends is calling me. I'm just going to, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And the dude wasn't even like, what the fuck? Get back on my cock. What are you doing? For crying out loud. You've got voicemail. They hacked it. Get back on my cock. No. Yeah, that was the most pathetic attempt at a sex tape I've ever seen. Now, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee, though very cock-heavy, was still pretty damn decent, and that girl could suck a cock like friggin' wow.
Yeah. Now, just to point people to another article. Oh, God, this is hilarious. If you go to the general talk posted by Sapphire, funny article about how to tell if your child is a hacker. Now, I think this has been going around for a few months.
Years.
Years, even. I mean, I'm thinking this whole thing is a complete fake, but because there's just so many...
No, it's satire.
Yeah, it's just... God, it's hilarious. Just read it. And I mean, if you're of that age to still be with a parent or whatever, you know, give them that. And
make sure they never see that.
No, give it to them and give them a pen just to tick all the things off. It's just hilarious. I went through this with, yes, I still live with my mother, even though I'm a fucking, never mind.
loser, I mean.
Oh, man.
Do you have your own basement, at least?
Yeah.
Ah, that's freedom, man.
Yeah.
What? Wait, I'm sorry, that was unrelated. Do you remember the movie Antitrust?
Yes, of course.
No. Do you remember the media player that they were developing called Synapse?
Yeah.
Go to www.synapseai.com.
synapseai.com. All right, let's just cannot find. Wait a second. SYSNAP.
No. SYN.
Oh.
Yes.
Ah, there we go. Yeah, Synapse Media Player, version 1.01. Yeah. What about it?
Library, playlist, play map, console, brain, web interface.
Yeah. I like that bit.
I don't know what to think of this.
Well, all it does is give you the opportunity to collect the way brain sees it through your own actor server. You can look at which songs the brain recognizes your... Yeah, but this is built into, like, Winamp and Windows Media Player. It's all over the place, man. Nearly every single media player has that ability to basically track the unique identifier on the track that you're playing, and then bring you up information about the album, the artist, and the ways to purchase the album.
Yeah. All right. The thing that really popped out at me was the name Synapse.
Yeah.
The fact that it was in a movie that I liked. And I was wondering if I could, you know, maybe start taking some things that have been in movies I liked and actually making products out of them.
Yeah.
Maybe I could get something going.
Maybe. That really cool railgun from, what was it? Die Hard? No, not Die Hard. Lethal Weapon? I don't know. One of those shitty movies. Yeah, make that.
Hey, don't be calling Die Hard shit on my watch.
Yeah. That is a bad idea.
No, I mean, come on, man.
I was a fan of the Die Hard trilogy.
It was Die Hard 4 that sucked.
Yeah, I mean, how many times...
It wasn't a Die Hard 4 yet.
How many times do they have to repeat that movie over Christmas? It's just...
It's a Christmas movie. It's not Christmas without Die Hard. Come on.
Oh, that's right. He was coming home during Christmas time. Or no, he was going to visit his wife during Christmas time. That's why I was playing Christmas with
him. What the fuck?
Bollocks to all this Elf saves Christmas, Santa has a good day, and
fucking,
all that.
Oh, you know what's even worse? Those fucking Home Alone movies.
Die Hard.
Those Home Alone movies and Richie awful. Rich. Oh, they get on my nerves so much, man. I want to fucking...
Anything starring Macaulay Culkin you can take out and burn in the street. That's fine. Yeah.
No, there was that one, The Bad Son.
Die Hard. That what, sorry?
There was one movie with Macaulay Culkin that I thought was decent. It was like The Bad Son or something like that. His mom ends up dropping him off a cliff at the end of the thing because he's trying to kill his brother.
Nice. That's good parenting.
Well... If you were Macaulay Culkin's parent, and you had him dangling over a cliff end where you could save any other person on the face of the earth because they were being held by your other hand, and you could only hold one, wouldn't you drop Macaulay?
Yeah.
I'd drop him anyway.
Just for fun.
Yeah. I'd have made less of a...
Jinx.
less of a, you know, dramatic thing about it.
Yeah.
She'd have been like, peace! Don't know.
I don't know.
So the Jet Propulsion Laboratory has beaten itself into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah.
Again for creating the world's lightest solid.
Ooh.
Described as solid smoke because it's 99.8% air.
Wow.
It's a material called aerogel that is actually a stiff foam made from silicon dioxide and sand, the same ingredients that make glass, but aerogel is about 1,000 times lighter.
Right.
Its density is just 3 milligrams per cubic centimeter and 2 milligrams lighter than the previous world record hold, an older formulation of aerogel.
Why?
It's not just lightweight, it withstands the pressure 1,000 times higher than its own mass, and melts only when temperatures hit 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1,200 degrees Celsius.
So I guess the implementations of that could be pretty much endless.
I don't know. Let's see if they say what
That's
they're planning
awesome.
On using it for, or if they're just...
Military-grade weapons.
The lightest rifle ever.
Well, I mean, just like as a projectile or something, you know, that's pretty awesome. If it can be that tough and still be that light.
Well, no, because you want a projectile weapon to have mass. Otherwise, it doesn't have force when it hits.
Well, no, it would have force in the speed that it's flying.
Well, you'd have
to go through, like, I don't know, if you wanted to just, like,
precisely. But you'd have to make it go, like... 1,000 times faster than something 1,000
yeah.
times heavier.
But you'd be able to do that because it's so much lighter, if you see what I mean. Like, pinpoint precision shooting sort of thing would be... You could, like, shoot through the atoms through a wall or something like that. I don't know. I wish.
They're actually going to use it to capture a comet.
Okay. Why? I mean, don't you want to, like...
I don't know.
Don't you want to, like, keep comets way, 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 way away from Earth?
Just want to, like, slow it down.
Yeah.
Bring it back to Earth. Play with it for a little while.
Okay. Slow it down and bring it back to Earth are two things that I don't want in a sentence with the word comet.
And I guess they're going to start making spacecraft out of it.
Yeah, that sounds cool. That sounds cool. I guess that's one of the uses of it.
I suppose so.
Yeah. And
I like that whole capturing a comet thing.
Yeah. I'll just capture myself a comet.
Gonna get me one of them.
Yeah. Ma! Don't cook dinner, Ma! Capturing comets!
Yeah. Now boil your comet at 375 degrees. Make sure to add plenty of spices. One comet will serve up to 1,800 people, so make sure to invite enough. Storing the leftovers can be quite disastrous.
And in hacking news, cyber attacks on the U.S. linked to Chinese military. Security Express Bruce Schneider is reporting that the continuing effort to penetrate U.S. government and industry computer systems is most likely linked to those damn Chinese militaries. From the Terranet article, the attacks have been traced to the Chinese province of Gaogundong and the techniques used to make it appear unlikely to come from any other secure than the military. Sorry, from any other source than the military, said Alan Paller, the director of SANS Institute, an educational and research organization focusing on cybersecurity. Okay, well, you know, I'm not surprised. Come on. What the fuck do they expect, you know? That, you know, the Chinese aren't going to try and infiltrate your computer... whatever.
Well, I would hope they would. I mean, what are they after my porn for?
Yeah.
Well, you know what they don't report on, though, is the U.S. projects to get into Chinese military computers and, like, everybody else's. So, big whoop.
Yeah.
The only thing that I'm really actually surprised about in that article is that they reported on and being successful.
Yeah. And here's all the stuff they found.
It'll be posted
information.zip.
In our forums.
Yeah. Oh, this is cool. Booting Linux from a singular Trio. This is a mobile phone, smartphone that is probably in the US. Looks pretty cool. They managed to boot Linux straight off it. And there's some images on there as well. If you go to www.linux.com grack.com, that's grack.com, / programming, / miscellaneous, that's misc, / triolinux.html. Pretty sweet. The website doesn't seem to support Firefox too well. It's a bit laggy, but never mind. Yeah, any other news?
No, not that particularly.
I mean, apart from the fact that tomorrow is the last episode of Season 2. Yes, we're coming to an end on Season 2. I mean, it's...
God, it seems like just yesterday we ended Season 1.
Yeah, it's true. Guys, remember to pick yourself up a copy of the Hacker Voice Radio Season 1 DVD if you trawl through the forums, or if you go straight onto eBay and Google Hacker Voice, you will find yourself a link or the actual PayPal thingy to buy yourself a copy. Go ahead and be a proud owner of the Hacker Voice DVD Season 1, featuring over 50 hours and 41 episodes of quality entertainment. This is the original. This is how we kind of started out. And also, by purchasing a copy of this DVD, you are also supporting the cause and enabling us to bring you more quality entertainment shows in Season 3.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Be sure to expect Season 2 to come out on DVD sometime. It should be pretty cool.
Estimated time of arrival between now and when the sun goes Nova. I can't be more specific, I'm afraid.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do this evening. I'll start cooking up a little Season 2.
Front cover.
Cover.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Along those lines. And, you know.
And Planet, get those burners out. And
what is that, slang for testicles?
maybe, I guess.
Get those burners out.
Yeah. Whatever gets the job done, man.
Yeah. If that's the way you talked your boss into it, then, you know, I guess. Some teabagging.
Oh, dude, stop, please.
Oh, teabagging. I haven't heard that in a while.
I thought I was the only one who could lower my reputation.
What reputation?
You have
There isn't one left.
The only reputation you have is that you have no reputation.
I need to protect my reputation that I'm a pervert.
Yeah.
You'll be hearing from my lawyers.
Okay.
I own your lawyer.
Forward them to my lawyers.
Actually, my lawyers are tied up. You're going to have to talk to my lawyer's lawyers.
Can I have pictures of tied up lawyers? Sounds kind of hot.
All right. They're all a bunch of tools. Well, you see, they lost their case, and so now I have to keep them in my basement. It was part of our agreement. Well, just because they didn't read the whole 20,000-page document before they signed it.
You know.
What are the chances that an attorney is going to be tricked into signing over power of attorney to you?
Very slim.
That depends. Yeah, well, you know, the best part about that document is about halfway into it, I just started, quoting the complete works of William Shakespeare. Mm. And, you know, somewhere in Measure for Measure, I think I threw the portion in where I would, you know, own their souls forever. And, you know, apparently their paralegals didn't have time to proof the whole document. And,
own age. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Last show tomorrow. Any requests, ladies and gentlemen, send them into radio@hackervoice.co.uk.
Definitely.
or just send any old feedback or bollocks to that address as well.
Exactly.
Know you're
or
alive,
just forward all of those things that you get that are spam to our...
No,
don't
do that.
No?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're going to be doing like a special episode after we do the final episode, like we did for season one. I don't know what we should do on that, but you know, I guess
I gotta come up with some stuff.
Yeah,
we're gonna
definitely have a party tomorrow. You know, get some few drinks out, but for God's sake, don't let Ionix drink, not again.
It was great when he was drunk. Yeah. He stopped you from that bleep noise.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that? Okay, I did finally end that, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you put an end to that thing.
You had the right fucking go at me.
It was ace. And I support you every single syllable that you said.
Well,
you might just hear me in the background
bit
of that episode again. Yeah!
Emotional.
Yeah! Go on!
Well, at least some good.
Well, at least
come out of my complete asinine behavior.
I guess, you know, I'm pretty good at taking criticism, you know.
And you must be. You're still talking to me.
Yeah. You know, that mute button was very tempting, but.
Oh man, I gotta re-listen that episode.
Yeah, definitely. I need to start listening back to our first kind of episodes, because I haven't listened to them in a while, and I guess people find them really kind of cool, and I don't know, I mean, they're fucking like those more than the stuff we do now, so maybe
really,
we should,
it's my fault.
Yeah, we should just go back to that. Season 3 is just going to be a throwback season.
What, just doing old news and
then, tits,
dead air, boobs.
All right, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
And as a throwback, I won't hop on until, like, halfway through the season.
Yeah. And spoil it all by saying something like content.
No, why did I ever? What was I thinking?
I don't know. Coming up with crazy ideas like interviewing people. I mean, come on, what the fuck?
Oh, I know, I've ruined everything.
But I have to say, season 2 is definitely a major improvement on all sides, you know. It was fantastic, and it's, you know, we've gained some really cool people as on the listener base, as well as, you know, people on the show. Sadly, we've kind of lost Scoby, but he's, you know, he's got a legitimate reason, as well as his sex change, but also the project that he's doing.
We're dealing with his sex change
with rusoft.com and all that kind of stuff. So,
and yeah, in case you're wondering, yes he is.
Yeah.
Soft like a little baby.
Oh man,
wait. Yeah. It's probably going to be on the special edition episode.
Is he?
He probably
Yeah.
Like he was for season 1, so.
Yeah.
That goddamn Scott. Hopping in for the best shit.
Exactly.
He's going to be giving you shit about the Scottish space program that last night.
Ah, I can't get him to my space suit!
I kind of do it, Captain.
I've had too much haggis.
The zipper be stuck. What's the matter with this? The goddamn rockets run out of whiskey.
You're digging your own graves.
Fuck
it. I'll bring it.
Yeah.
I got all the guns.
Bring it on, girl.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, also, to anybody that's listening, go and check out the latest episode of Pure Ownage. That's pure pwnang.com. It's episode 9. Episode about Dave. I think they have totally 100% outdone themselves in that episode. It's fucking, oh, it's awesome. It's it makes you laugh, it makes you cry, and oh, it's fantastic. Really go check it out. And this is something, I mean, Maybe I want to talk about this later in the next episode, about the kind of differences between free online media as well as standard kind of commercial media. You know, just to set the topic off, I think there's endless amounts of free quality online media that you can kind of entertain yourself with for a very long time, and it's just fantastic that you know people have the ability for syndication and you know to be able to just stick a few microphones into a mixer and be able to do these kind of things, compared to the uphill struggle to be able to ever accomplish this through any kind of legitimate certified government endorsed means.
It's fantastic, man. Pure Ownage is one of my favorites. I have to admit I am a latecomer to this party, but it is fantastic. Obviously, as a big World of Warcraft addict myself, I very got into episodes 6 and 7. And I love it. I think it's fantastic. Very on the money with the humor, and wow.
It's awesome. Love it. I mean, these guys, I know them sort of personally, not as much as I'd like to, but we definitely want to get Kyle on one of the shows, do an interview with him. Definitely want to get some of that kind of jazz going, and they've got a huge fan base. I mean, it's amazing how many people, you know, watch their stuff, and it really is cool. And go check out, I think, for anybody who wants to kind of watch the episodes, if you've never seen it before, I don't know, let's say start off with the first and work your way up, I guess.
I'd start with the first one.
You know, it's hours, literally hours of quality satire and entertainment, you know, just like taking the whole kind of gaming scene and turning it on its head, and the acting in this one is amazing. It really is. So,
I didn't actually know this was out. I'm downloading this now.
So, you know, I just like to get that information out to all of you. So, I'm pretty much ready to close the show off, I guess, unless anybody else has anything to add.
No, I'm good.
Cool, okay. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio. I guess we'll catch you tomorrow for episode 81, the last episode of season 2. Memorable occasion. Don't know what we're going to do, but whatever we do is going to be alcoholized.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
We'll think of something.
Also, just to let everybody know that, you know, you're free to kind of distribute this media to your friends, burn it on the CD, whatever. Tell somebody about us, and you know, go buy the DVD, because, you know, it's not going to be, we can't be around forever without some sort of support, I guess, because most of the stuff is coming out of our own pockets. So, you know, be a proud owner of the season 1 DVD, and if you do purchase it, you might even get a surprise where you buy one, you might get two free, and we'll see what happens. So while stocks last.
You might even get a naughty Polaroid.
Maybe.
Inside.
Of Bilal. And I want to get some stickers out very soon, and get quite a lot more t-shirts printed, and get that whole kind of system going again. So, okay, well, let's close things off.
Good stuff. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Ta-ta.
Thank you.